Okay.
Jason, is it going to be a weekly thing?
For the moment, yeah.
I arranged my class for it to fit in with you.
Ah, I've booked up a few weeks now. I can't remember how many. Probably about
four.
This one.
Four
altogether, is it? So today was number two out of four.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. That's the plan, to finish the chapter in that time. Okay. Yeah. Northend and Colwell. 22nd of February 2009, 28th of Shvat, Kafcha Shvat, Toshin Samach Tess, Shigiv Magashon Hepner, Tehillim, Chapter Yud Dalet. What I'll do is, last week we did the first two Pesukim, I'll just quickly go through the first two again, just to get back into it. There's one small Pshat to say still on Pasuk Beis, and then we'll move straight on to Pasuk Gimel. Chapter Yud Dalet. Lamnatzeach L'David, A for the conductor, for David, Amanovo Belibo, the Rosha, says in his heart, Eino Likim, there is no God. Hishchisu, they have destroyed. Hisivu, they have been disgusting. Hisivu Alila, their actions have been disgusting. Eino Sitov, nobody doing any good. And Rashi refers this chapter referring to Nebuchadnezzar destroying the first base of Mikdash. Nobody's doing any good. Not one of his soldiers attempted to stop Nebuchadnezzar from destroying the base of Mikdash and from the invasion. Hashem is Shemayim Hishkif al Bnei Adam.
How many say that? How many soldiers
stop
Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah, I know. Yes. Well, yeah, they weren't in a position to stop him. Yeah. Hashem Mishamayim Hishkif al Bnei Adam. Hashem from heaven looks down upon mankind. Liris to see how Yesh Maskil, whether there is anybody who is, I got stuck on this translation last week.
Perceptive,
thank you, or doing good, in general terms, doing good. Derech HaSedekim, anyone who seeks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down to see if there's anyone who seeks him. And just one very small shot, which I forgot to say last week, is brought to somebody in the Sefer Tehillim by in the Mossad Rav Kook publication, and that's simply that Pasuk Beis contrasts with Pasuk Aleph. That Pasuk Aleph says that the novel says Belibo Ein Elokim, the Rosha says there is no God, and our Pasuk gives Eidus that there is Hashem Mishamayim Hishkif, that Hashem does indeed look down from heaven. So Pasuk Beis is there to counteract Pasuk Aleph, to counteract what the Rosha, what the novel says, that there is no God. Oh yes, there is. Hashem is Shemayim Hishkif, he does look down.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's it for Pasuk Beis. Let's move on to Pasuk Gimel. Hakol Sar, everybody has turned away.
Is this kind of Yud Dalet?
Yud Dalet.
Yud Dalet.
Hakol Sar, everybody turns away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yachdov, together Ne'elochu. The word Ne'elochu is translated in the art scroll as being they're all depraved. It's a very interesting word, we'll come on to this. Ein Ositov, nobody does any good. Ein Gam Echod, not even one. So, depressing pasuk describing the Rishoyim. There's absolutely not a single good person among the Rishoyim. They're all a bad lot. So, Rashi explains that again, we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar and his army, and it's on this pasuk that Rashi says that not one of his soldiers made any efforts to prevent him. I suppose that in some armies, you find, like in the Second World War, there was that, the Germans, some of the Germans plotted, they attempted to kill Hitler. So, anyway, it seems not one of them made any efforts to prevent Nebuchadnezzar. That's how Rashi learns it. Rashi defines the word ne'elochu, which is a very complicated word, ne'elochu. Hakol sar yachdov ne'elochu, says Rashi, ne'elochu means ne'efchu lekilkul. They've all gone bad, they've all gone rotten. That's how Rashi learns it. The Targum on yachdov ne'elochu translates it as kachado, as one, Israshalu, they've all gone lazy. I think that's what Israshalu means. They've all become lazy. So it's another bad expression of evil, but the Targum puts the emphasis on laziness. The Metzudas Tzion, and many Mefarshim, quote a Pasuk in Eov, it's chapter Tesvav, Pasuk Tesvayin, Nis'ov V'ne'eloch. to define our words, kul yachtov ne'elochu, many of them quote this pasuk in Eos, nisov, they've been disgusting, the ne'eloch, and they've all gone bad. So it's just another occasion in Tanakh where we find this root. Ein gam echad, yet not even one person is makes any effort to being good. Another Radak compares this pasuk to the parallel pasuk. You remember that we mentioned last week that chapter Nun Gimel in Tehillim is almost word for word the same as this chapter Yud Daled, almost the same, with a few differences here and there, and Mitzvah Hashem will tackle some of those differences when we come to them. Well, in chapter Nun Gimel, instead of saying Hakol Sar, excuse me, our pasuk is Hakol Sar, there it says Kulo Sog, Samach Gimel, Kulo Sog. So the Radak explains, what does this mean? It's a parallel expression, and it really comes to the same idea. What does the word Sog mean? So the word Sog comes from the expression which you find in Yeshaya, Nosogu Ocher. Now the word Nosogu Ocher means they slipped back.
Retreated.
Retreated. To go back to bad. It means not just to go back, it means to go back to bad old ways. That's the idea behind it.
Grammar,
talk to me by Pinchas Cooper. That's right. That in grammar in the Kriyas Torah, you sometimes find an accent.
Bochabonu.
Yeah, because bonu, the accent goes on the base. Bonu, and if the accent would go on bochar on the chet, which is the normal way of emphasizing that word, the you would have two consecutive strong beats.
Right.
So the rhythm of the pasuk always requires you have strong beats and weak beats. So if the strong beat or the accent comes at the start of the word, then very often you find the previous word has its accent pushed back. My most favourite occasion where you find this, and I show this to Bar Mitzvah boys who can understand it, it was shown to me by my late father in the Zichrono Livracha, in the end of Parshas Yisro. We just named it last time, where you have Elohei Cheses veElohei Zarav Lo Sasu Lochem. It's a wonderful example because it's almost the same word, almost right next to each other, but the accent's in a different place. It's Elohei Cheses veElohei Zarav. So the word Elohei should have the accent on the hey, at the end of the word. But when it comes before the word cheses, where the word cheses has the accent on the chaf right at the beginning, so the accent is pushed back to the lamed, and it becomes Elohei cheses. Otherwise you'd have two consecutive strong beats, Elohei cheses, and the rhythm wouldn't be easy to do. So it gets pushed back. And they call that nosogachar, borrowing from this lashon nosogachar, where the accent is pushed back. I wasn't going to say it, but you mentioned it. I had to say it. It also gave me a chance to quote Pinchas and my late father, Nozichon Racha. So, yeah, so here you have sog. So the word sog is this means to go back to bad old ways. So there the pasuk says kulo sog, and here the pasuk gives hakol sor. Says the Radak, what's the connection between the word sog and the word sor? He says a most surprising, beautiful pshat. He says we have the system usually used for gematrius of atbash, where an aleph is transformed into a tof, and a base transformed into a shin, and so on right the way through the aleph base. Well, the gimel transforms into a resh. At, bash, gar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? The third letter of the aleph base parallel to the third last letter of the aleph base. So therefore, the gimel and the resh are interchangeable. Here we have hakol sor, and there in chapter nun gimel is kulo sog, with the gimel. So, the two are interchangeable. Yeah, you do find a few cases where we use atbash not just for the sake of gematria, but for other things as well. So the Radak says that the word sor is a parallel word to the word sog. Yeah. Then he brings the main shot. He says the Radak is of course sor, meaning to turn away. Everybody turns away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He also quotes the pasuk in Shemos, chapter Tesnayin, pasuk Chof, where it speaks about the mon, and the pasuk there says, "Vayorum Tiloim, the moment that was left over, Vayivash. I think it's Vayivash. Yeah, Vayivash or Vayivash, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it
became wormy, that's it. Oh, of course you know it's Marie. Yeah. Vayarum Tiloim Vayivash. What's that? So there the Targum says, Urechesh. Yes, Urechesh Rihasha, which means it became wormy, and the translation of Vayivash is Usri. Samachresh, Usri. Says the Radak, that's the third pshat on this word, Hakol Sar, means everybody goes rotten. Yeah, Masriach.
I was mentioning that you were Saddam.
When Dam survived, it, the river turned it down, also the fish, the fish became smelly. Everyone turns away. Pshat number two is it's a parallel word to sog, and it means to slip back into bad old ways. And pshat number three is to go rotten. The Me'iri brings another pshat that makes you really sit up. And that's, he quotes a posuk in Yecheskel. I'll give you the posuk here. Posuk says in Yecheskel, it's chapter Kaf Dalad, posuk Vav, which says, Lachim kama Hashem elikim, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oy Ir Hadomim, woe to the city of blood, referring to Yerushalayim, sear a pot, it's a moshul now, a pot, asher chel osava, whose scum is on top of it. So you've got a pot with maybe something very lovely cooking inside the pot, but above the surface of the liquid, floating on it, yes, it's the scum which you would want to scoop off, like the fat on top of a soup or something like that. It's the scum that's developed above the on top of the cooked item. So chel osa is ches lamed aleph sof hey chel osa. Now here we have hakol, it's a yachdov ne'elochu. So here the root is aleph lamed ches, and there the root is lamed is ches lamed aleph. Same letters, different sequence. Says the Me'iri, means the same. And you do find these interchanged letters and a root. Here we have Ne'elochu Aleph Lamed Ches. Chel Osa is an expression of the scum on top of the soup. And that's Ches Lamed Aleph. Isn't that interesting? Same letters, different sequence. Says the Me'iri, same idea. It comes to mean the same sort of thing. Right. It's something unpleasant. That's the idea. And he says it's a reference to the Rishoyim who were in Yerushalayim. Here in my Sefer Medroshim, this wonderful Sefer Medroshim, given to me by Rabbi Sol Moshe Greenfeld, who's a colleague at Parshas School, who gave me the Sefer. He didn't know I was giving a shir on Tehillim. I once did him a very small favor, and he gave me this beautiful set of spoiler. Beyond me. I really don't understand it.
I'm sure you didn't deserve it.
I did not. I know I didn't. He quotes a Yalkut Shimoni. I did not. That was Gornish. Yes. The Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim, he quotes it from Toshin Ayin. I couldn't actually track it down. So he says there that the word Ne'elochu is an acronym. Yachdov Ne'elochu is an acronym. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's an acronym for what? Na'asu Achim Lelohim Achirim. They've become colleagues, or brothers, literally, to other gods, to other gods. So Ne'elochu is these words, Na'asu Achim Lelohim Achirim. Is that lovely? Yeah, it's an acronym for that. Quote it from the Yalkut Shimoni. Yeah, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malachi Asharis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Malachim, Tzu'u Ru'u, go and see Ma'asu B'nei Adam Oris, what people are doing in the land. Omri Lo, so the Malachim replied, Eimer Tetov, they're not doing any good. Nobody's doing any good. That's how he explains this word, Ne'elochim. Yeah, now the Al-Sheikh on this prophet, and I think I mentioned this last, we did the Al-Sheikh a little bit last week. The Al-Sheikh on the whole chapter has a whole theme on the chapter, and there's a lot of it that I didn't understand. But what he says is that the chapter is dealing with the Inyan of Purim. The Nevuah, all this is Nevuah, of course. According to Rashi, that's about Nevuah. I meant it's also Nevuah, but long before the Beis Mikdash, before the Beis Mikdash was built. Says the Al-Sheikh, this whole chapter deals with Purim. In what respect? In the respect of Eliyahu Hanavi asking Moshe Rabbeinu in Shomayim. Apparently there's a medrash to this effect, that Eliyahu Hanavi asked Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Purim, Haman's made all these terrible decrees, is there any one of the Yidden who's a good Yid? Are there any good Yidden there? To which Moshe replied, yes, there is, there's Mordechai. And therefore Mordechai is the hero, and he saves the day, and it's in his zechus that we have the whole Nes of Purim. Now the Al-Sheikh, based on this, turns the whole chapter around. The chapter, you can see, is a very depressing chapter. Nobody's good. Downbeat, thank you. Downbeat chapter. No tzaddikim, nobody's doing any good, everybody's rotten. The Al-Sheikh turns the whole thing around into a question. And he learns as follows. Hakol sar? Question mark, exclamation mark. Has everybody turned away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yachdav Ne'elachu? Has everybody gone rotten? No, not everybody. Ein Osetot? Are you telling me there's nobody who's done any good? Ein Gamechot? Not even one? The Al-Sheikh turns the whole thing around into these rhetorical questions. Are you telling me no, there's not one good Yid? Yes, there is. There's Mordechai. That's how he learns it. And it's in the Zechus of Mordechai that we're all going to be saved. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns it. Different slant on the Pasuk. Now, I have to tell you something. I learned this on the phone. I was discussing this Pasukim with my good friend in Manchester. Jeremy Stanton. Remember Jeremy Stanton used to come to Seed in Leeds. Yeah, I came with him twice, and on two occasions. Yeah, someone couldn't take the share, and I couldn't.
He was very strong meat, as they say.
Strong meat.
Yeah.
You went.
I heard of it. I never went to that show.
He's an old friend of mine from school days. We used to play a lot of chess together, and on the phone this last week.
What is he doing?
He does a lot of private teaching. Oh, yeah. That's his main policy, he does private teaching. He's a brilliant man, absolutely brilliant in so many fields of knowledge, and he's got a whole stage of learning. He's very strict about the Hayomi and Parakim and Mishnayos every day and chapters of Tehillim every day, and he knows. So when I phoned him to check a few things with him on this chapter, he knew it about Peh, he knew. And one of the things he said to me is, oh, and Yachdav Ne'elachu, he says, you have to look at Rav Shimshon of Baal Hirsch on the Pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim. Why? So Rav Shimshon of Baal Hirsch says that this word, Ne'elachu, Aleph Lamed Ches, is related to Aleph Lamed Hei. Rav Shimshon of Baal Hirsch, he relates these words.
Stepping stone.
He relates words with two common letters in the root. I first heard that from your late
father. He learned that at university, I don't wish that.
Yeah, oh yes, that's yes, what yes, he learned at university. Yes. So he says, Aleph Lamed Ches, with the two letters in common, Aleph Lamed, is related to Aleph Lamed Hei. Aleph Lamed Hei, Allah, is a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this word, Ne'eloch, means everybody's cursed. That's how he learns this. Yachtov Ne'elochu, everybody's cursed. Ne'elochu is a nifal, and it's related to Aleph Lamed Hei, and it means everybody's cursed. And then he relates it in Bereishis.
Aleph Lamed Aleph, isn't it? It's a curse?
No, it's Aleph Lamed Hei. Aleph Lamed Hei. Allah. Allah is a curse.
Because here, Ne'elochu, it's got the Aleph.
Aleph Lamed Hei. Is Aleph Lamed Hei is to curse.
Yes, yes.
Like Vayoel Moshe Loshev Eseto Ish.
And
is Aleph Lamed Hei, Vayoel. Yes, so he says, Ne'elochu is a nifal, means they're all cursed.
Yes. Yachtav
Ne'elochu. And he relates it there in Parashat Bereishis to Bereishis Bara Elokim. He says, the name Elokim is Midas Hadin. And the word Elokim comes from Aleph Lamed Hei, Allah, which is a curse. The time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with people strictly. So thank you to Jeremy Stanton for that. I would never have known to look at this Rav Shimshon of Baal Hirsch on Bereishis Bara Elokim.
It doesn't necessarily mean strictly. It means according to justice.
Yeah, justice. That's how it's strict left of law. So, okay, but it's harshness, it's strictness, yes. And therefore it's related to a curse. Allah, Aleph Lamed Hey. At the end of the phone call, having discussed the chapter on Tehillim, he then gave me two chess puzzles to think about.
Two
chess puzzles to think about. That's we're still Amazonian boys, really. Yeah, good, and that's it for Prophet Base. That's it, Pasuk Gimel, isn't it? Okay, Pasuk Dalet. Now, Pasuk Dalet is a very, very big, complicated Pasuk. Halo Yodu'u Kol Poalei Oven. Don't they know who's they? Don't all those people who do Averus, Poalei Oven, those who do evil, don't they know? Ochle Ami, those who consume my people, Klal Yisrael. Ochlu lechem. Oh, there's another example. There's nasog ocher. Ochlu lechem. It's on the accent on the aleph because the word lechem, the accent's at the beginning. Yes. Normally it would be ochlu. Here it's ochlu. They ate bread. Hashem lekarou. They did not call God. Yeah. Now it's a very complicated pasuk here. You have to wish me luck for this one. It's tough. There's so many different ways of understanding who these people are. So let's first learn in Rashi. Rashi learns, Halo Yodu, didn't they know? Didn't the people from Bavel, didn't the Babylonians know when they came, and Rashi learning, the whole chapter dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, didn't they know, Halo Yodu, Kapale Ovin, all those Bale Avera, Nebuchadnezzar's gang and his army, Ochle Ami, those people who have consumed my people, Nebuchadnezzar, who invaded Eretz Yisrael and smashed down the base of Mikdash, Ochlu Lechem, who later on celebrated in the days of Belshazzar. Belshazzar, who made his big feast. It's recorded in Daniel chapter 8, Pasuk Aleph. All the Nevuah, sure, all the Nevuah. Long before the Beit HaMikdash was built. Yeah.
This is much later.
So, yeah, it's a Nevuah, all the Nevuah. Even if it's written in the past tense. Yeah, so the Pasuk says that Belshazzar Malka, Belshazzar the king, of course Belshazzar being the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son Evil Merodach, and Evil Merodach's son Belshazzar. Now there was the Nevuah, the famous Nevuah that the Golas Bavel would last 70 years. And they had different ways, they weren't sure when to start counting the 70 years. And Belshazzar made his calculation, and when he was, as far as he was concerned, once the 70 years were up, and Klal Yisrael was still not redeemed from Babylon, and had not come back to Israel, that's it, it's all over, now the Yidden are saved, they're going to be eternally without a finished nation, and it was then that he celebrated what his grandfather had done in destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and he took out the Canaan with the Beis HaMikdash, which no one had ever dared do before, even the Nebuchadnezzar, who had sacked the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless they had a certain fear and dread of using the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and only now Belshazzar, for the first time they took out the Kalim and they made this big banquet. Belshazzar Malka chapter is Daniel chapter Hey Pasuk Aleph. Belshazzar Malka, Belshazzar the king, Avad Lechem Rav, he made a big party, Lerav Ravonohi Aleph, for his officers, I suppose other things are thousands of officers, and they celebrated and they made they had their big celebration, and of course this is the party at which the handwriting appears on the wall, the message of doom for Belshazzar, that the balloon was up, it was all over, and of course by the time morning had come, Belshazzar died that night. So Rashi learns that as we're learning all about Nebuchadnezzar and therefore his descendants as well, our posuk, Ochle Ami, those people who have consumed my people, Ochlu Lechem, they went on to eat bread and celebrate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in the days of Belshazzar, to celebrate that in the time of Belshazzar, with this big celebration. And it really goes hand in hand with the next Pasuk Hey, Shom, there, while they were celebrating, Pochadu Fochad, they had this intense fear. They were, because they saw the handwriting on the wall, they had no idea what that message on the wall meant. The hand that mysteriously appeared and wrote on the wall, they didn't understand it, and they were terrified. It was a terrifying experience. And therefore,
That's Shom Pochad with Pochad. That's when they were scared there and then during that party. So that's how Rashi learns it.
But was defeated by the Persians.
Yes, yes, Daryovesh, think it was.
It wasn't. He wasn't bumped off by one of his own people.
No.
It was an enemy.
Yeah, enemy attack that night.
The affront that they had was in taking out the killing of the against the face of an enemy who was coming for him. His confidence was to the utmost degree, and he got his punishment by being beaten by a known enemy.
Yes, yeah.
It is amazing that he had the chutzpah.
Did he know they were coming beforehand?
Of course not. The swarms of them, although they had no telephones in those days, they must have known and seen these swarms, hordes coming.
Yep.
And of course, it wasn't much of a fight. We don't hear that there was much of a fight. And so his own people must have been without a sense of fight.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's how Rashi learns it. We're learning all about Nebuchadnezzar, followed by the later generation of Belshazzar, who celebrated. Yeah. Hallo Yodu Kopale Obin, didn't those evildoers know? Och Leami, a consumer people, Och Lechem, who celebrated with this party, Hashem Le Karou, they did not call to God. How does Rashi learn Hashem Le Karou? He says that Nebuchadnezzar and his armies didn't think for a moment how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had saved Klal Yisrael time and time again over the generations. If they would have spared a moment to think on that along those lines, they would have had second thoughts about attacking Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Mekoro, they didn't pay any regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he learns it. Rashi goes on to quote a Medrash, which is that any nations of the world who have not attacked Klal Yisrael and who have not stolen things from Klal Yisrael do not have a sweet taste of food when they eat. It's quite an unexpected medrash. I'm not sure if I quoted it. Actually, it's quoted directly from Rashi. Rashi's Loshen is, Kol Shelo Hoya Gozel Es Yisrael, anybody who is not stolen from Klal Yisrael, Lo Hoya Toim Ta'am Orev Bama Acholo, does not have a good taste with food, sweet taste. Yeah, exactly. You think the opposite, but no. It's an added incentive to attack Klal Yisrael. You'll enjoy your food better if you have a pop at Klal Yisrael. Yeah? Interesting, yeah, and that's how Rashi explains it. Ochlu lechem. It comes from a medrash. Ochlu lechem. If you attack Klal Yisrael, you'll enjoy your food better. Ochlu lechem.
Yeah.
Amazing, huh?
An incentive
to attack. Yeah.
Why
would you say that? I don't know. Pshat in the medrash is hard to explain. Don't worry. Akash Prof has got other ways of punishing them. But that's the.
But that was a common feeling at the time. That's how the nations and people spoke to one another.
Yeah.
Have a go at Israel, life will be better for you.
Yeah.
That's the anti-Semitic chant. Yeah. Get rid of the Jews, and everything will be fine.
Yes.
That's right. If you have Jews with you, your life will be tasteless.
Yeah.
And that's what the anti-Semitism is.
Maybe the same way.
I'm saying this is the same now. That is the. Basically, don't be surprised at it.
This is in order to give a
maybe it's figurative.
So, what are the goyim saying now?
Yeah, you'll have no taste. Your life will have no taste. Doesn't necessarily mean the food will taste better.
They mean it literally. There are many of the anti-Semitism who mean it literally now. Let's get rid of the Jews. They're interfering with our lives.
I understand. This is figurative.
No,
don't
agree.
I don't. Hard to know how to understand this medrash. Ochlu lechem, whether it's literally has a better taste of food, or whether it's
it means that life is better. That's right. Life is better. Yes, not only just the food.
Yeah,
but be there everything.
Yeah,
we're better off without the Jews.
The Jewish problem.
The Jewish problem.
Yeah.
sticks in their throats.
The goyim, as well as us, it gives the incentive to the goyim, as you say, to protect the Jews from life would be better. But on the other hand, it gives the Jews an understanding that if they don't behave themselves, they're at the mercy of these people. Often nothing bad comes down from Hashem. Only good things come down from Hashem. And if he's trying to keep the Yidden in order, he brings these things. They'll enjoy their food in this world, they get their cup in the next world, but they're enjoying it. And they're encouraged to enjoy it.
Yep. Good. Okay. Let's move on. Two interesting pieces of targum in this pasuk. One is on the word kol pole oven, where the word oven really means bad deeds, but the targum translates it very precisely, kol avdei shekar, those who do sheker, falsehood. He defines oven as, shekar. Then another interesting piece of targum is on ochle ami ochlu lechem. He translates it as so'ade ami, those who feast on my people, so'adu lachma, and they feast on bread. And then Hashem lo korotu, he translates as shema da Hashem lo varichu. They didn't bless the name of Hashem. Again, a slight different slant on it. Lo karo, he says, is an expression of calling to Hashem, but it means to bless Hashem. Shema da Hashem lo varicha, they never blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Targum translates it. The Matzudas David brings a chat on this, and he says, he explains it, halo yadu kopale oven, uchle ami ochlu lechem, don't the enemy who consumed our people, consume my people, don't they know that the whole reason why they are successful is because Hashem lo korou, is because Klal Yisrael never called to me. So Hashem lo korou is not the enemy. The Matzudas David learns it's not the enemy not calling to Hashem, it's Klal Yisrael not calling to Hashem, and that is the reason why the enemies of Klal Yisrael are successful, is because Klal Yisrael never called out to Hashem, Hashem no Karo being on Klal Yisrael. That's how the Matzudas David learns, and Ibn Ezra learns it a little bit differently. Ibn Ezra says, no, Hashem no Karo means the enemies are successful against us, but with having been successful, they don't attribute their success. They should turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they should say, okay, we won this war, we defeated this nation, defeated the Jews, because you made us defeat them. He says, no, having defeated the Jews, they take all the credit for themselves, and Hashem lo karo'u. And the Ibn Ezra quotes the pasuk in Hazinu, one for you, Norman, Yadenu Rama velo Hashem pa'al kol zos. Our hands are high, we have been successful, but not Hashem Paul calls this, but it's not Hashem who's done this, we've done this ourselves, thank you very much. So that's how the Ibn Ezra learns.
How do you relate that to the Christians? Because the Christians call upon the name of Hashem. And so do the Ishmaelim. They call upon the name of Hashem. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar and all his law, they had many, many gods. All rubbish. But the Christians and the Muslims call upon the name of God. And when they were defeating the Jews, they did it in the name of the God. They shout, Allah is great.
Yeah.
So how do we relate this to they don't call the name of God?
Don't know. Can't ask that. Don't know. Must be referring to other enemies.
The Rambam discusses whether we can deal with the Muslims and the Christians, because do they have the same God? Do they have any God? And he decided, certainly the Muslims were no problem to the Rambam. He had difficulty with the Christians because of the Trinity. But he eventually concluded that there were three people he could do trade with because they were not idol worshippers.
They called to destroy the Jews now in the name of God.
Not everything could be answered easily. They kill Jews and God is good.
More brains.
Yeah.
Kill people and then praise God.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes, we want the same God. Do we remember to say that they call upon the same God? God doesn't take sides. and if somebody calls upon somebody with things which are so outrageous, is it the same God still? Is it a God that invented?
I believe it was that. There's something that we can't explain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say? God is Abraham, the God of
Abraham. Yeshua.
So they claim descent from Abraham, who was blessed by Hashem. So it seems they trace back a common deity.
Good, okay. Rabbi Shaya from Turin, that the Tosfos read, explains on this pasuk that he comments that the Pearly Oven here are a reference not to the enemies of Klal Yisrael, but to Klal Yisrael themselves, who are Roshoyim. That's how he learns this. That Halayodu Kol Pearly Oven, don't the Yidden who do Averis, don't they know that their fate is sealed. They'll be destroyed by enemies. Hashem the Koroim, they don't call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, a slightly different term on the pasuk. The pasuk does not refer to enemies of Klal Yisrael Yidden themselves who are Rishoyim.
So what's the
Ochle Amin? Don't they know, don't these Pearly Oven, don't these Yidden who are Rishoyim know that Ochle Ami, that there are enemies are on the way and they'll consume us. Yeah, he just defines the Pearly Oven not as a goyim, but as Yidden who are showing. Yeah,
enemies within.
That's it.
I haven't seen
that shot. Yeah.
It's the same tone, same idea.
You know, it's something coming up. Yeah. There's a major shechetov on this pasuk, which in the name of Reb Shmuel, who says that the pasuk here about Ochle Ami Ochlu Lechem is a reference in the times of the first Beis Hamikdash when the Nebuchadnezzar invaded, that they found that the Babylonians came to the rooms in the Beis Hamikdash where there were lambs stored for Karbonis. And what did they do? They shechted those lambs, or they killed those lambs, and they ate them. And then they went into the Beis Hamikdash and they found the lechem upon him, and they ate that too. And he then that's this idea of Ochle Ami Ochlu Lechem. They ate bread. So the Medrash Shechetov says they ate in the Beis Hamikdash themselves. They ate the lechem upon him. Yes, the Babylonians ate the lechem upon him, and also the meat of Karbonis that were waiting, the animals that were waiting to eat on Karbonis. Yeah. Now there's two other Medrashim which I should like to say. One is a Medrash brought in I found it in this sefer called the Medrash Yelamdenu, and it's brought on Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim speaks about the mitzvah of Orla, and he writes there that Orla, of course, 3 years of Orla, can't eat the fruit from the new tree for the first 3 years, and then in the fourth year it's Netar Ravoi, you take the food to Yerushalayim and you can eat it in Yerushalayim, and from the fifth year onwards the fruit is yours for the eating. So this Medrash Lamdenu says that Orla, 3 years of Orla, it corresponds to the three of us, Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov. So for 3 years the food is withheld from us. In the fourth year, where it's Netar Ravoi, the fourth year, where we may take it to Yerushalayim to eat, corresponds to the next generation down. We've had Avraham, we've had Yitzchak, we've had Yaakov, and now we go down to the next generation, fourth generation. Which one of that generation? The fourth son, Yehuda. And quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, chapter base, pasuk Gimel,
where that food, I should explain, is described as Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. So the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, let's get this one, Yirmiyah chapter base, Pasuk Gimel, where the Pasuk says, Kodesh Yisrael Lashem, that which is the holiness of Israel Lashem, for God, Reishis Tevorah, so the first of its produce, it sounds like this Orlo, it's brand new, really, Kol Ochlov Yeshomu, those who eat it will be guilty. Ra'ah tovo aleihem, evil will come upon them. Ne'um Hashem, says God. So it says that this fourth year you may eat it, you eat it in Yerushalayim, and it's reishis tovo. It's the beginnings of this produce. That's for the fourth year. From the fifth year onwards, where we are allowed to eat it, compares it to what we have in our pasuk is ochle ami. Ochle ami. We, Klal Yisrael, become the food for the nations. We are ochle ami. The nations consume us. That's how this Medrash Shechetiv explains it. That's how the Medrash learns it. Not Medrash Shechetiv, Medrash Yilamdeinu it is. Yeah. That we are then food. From the fifth year onwards, we are then food. We become food for the nations. There's a Medrash Rabbah in Shemos, and it's Simon Kaf Zayin Os Aleph, which compares Yisro and Esav. Yisro, of course, said to his daughters, "Oh, you met this man at the well. Well, you left him there. You should have invited him back for a meal." Yeah. Kiren Lo, go and call him. V'yochal Lechem, and let him eat bread. V'yochal Lochem, V'yochal Lechem. Can't remember. Is it Lechem? Yeah.
It's Lechem.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Kiren Lo, V'yochal Lechem. Call him back and let him eat with us. So that's V'yochal Lechem. So Yisro is inviting Moshe into his home and join us for a meal. Whereas Esav is described as Ochle Ami Ochlu Lechem. Those who also an expression of eating bread, only with Esav it's eating us like they eat bread. That's the idea. That's how the Medrash Rabbah puts it in Shemos. Yeah. Good. Okay. Let's move on. The Yalkut Shimoni on this pasuk says Hashem lo Karo'u is a reference. Machlokes in the Medrash Rabbah, to whom we're referring. Hashem lo Karo'u, they did not call Hashem. To whom are we referring? Rav in the Yalkut Shimoni says Elu Hadayonim, refers to Dayonim, to judges, and it means perverted judges. Judges at times when Klal Yisrael were Rishoyim, judges who pervert the course of justice. And Shmuel learns on this Hashem lo Karo'u, who's that? Is Elu Melamdei Tinokos? These are the teachers. They are school teachers. The evil school teachers, yeah? Evil school teachers. What does it mean? And it means that they don't do their job properly. They don't work as they should do. One of the Mefarshim learns it as she'osu melachtam ramia. They're coming in their work. They don't teach the children as they should do. Hashem lo karo'u. The Medrash there, the Yalkut Shimoni points the finger of blame at the school teachers and at the dayanim if they don't do their jobs properly. Yeah. Now, another medrash. Where am I placing this from? I'm not sure. Another medrash quotes this pasuk in Yirmiyah, and it's Yirmiyah. Where was it? Chapter base, pasuk Gimel. Kodesh Yisrael. Oh yes, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Reishis Tivroso Kol Ochlov. All those who consume Klal Yisrael Yeshamu are guilty. Ra'ah Tovo Aleihem. Evil will come upon them. Ne'um Hashem. So says God. So this medrash says the apostle, our apostle says Hashem lo karo'u. They didn't read, open quote, Hashem. They may well have read this pasuk in Yirmiyah saying anybody who attacks Klal Yisrael is for the high jump.
Yes.
But they failed to read the punchline of the pasuk, which is Ne'um Hashem. So says God. That they chose not to bother with. So therefore, if it doesn't come from Hashem, if they ignore that, then they won't take any notice of the pasuk at all. That's why they're prepared to attack us. Hashem lo karo means they didn't read this pasuk about Yirmiyah chapter base pasuk Gimel. They call Ochlav Yeshamu, all those who consume Klal Yisrael are guilty, and evil will come upon them. Ra'ah tovo aleihem, Ne'um Hashem. They ignored the Hashem bit at the end of the pasuk.
It was there, but they didn't want to see it.
Exactly. Yes.
The Jewish people are giving nourishment by being sheep. They're shechted.
Yeah.
These people, you say, they're going to enjoy their food better if we accept the Jews. But we're the sheep. So they eat from us. They take all our Torah from us and they convert it into their own Mishadas.
Oh, yeah.
So they're actually deriving nourishment from what we teach them. It's not eating us physically. And they destroy what we put over to them. We teach them Torah and they distort it into fairy tales.
Yeah, but we've got to teach them Torah because the eventual wish of Judaism is that the whole world, Goyim included, would acknowledge the one God, was in Aleinu.
It's not for us to teach Torah.
No, no, but I mean, to make available,
for example, yeah, we're not for us to teach them. Nochrisha Osa Batera Chaz Misa, the Gemara says.
We teach them that.
Okay.
And that's all they've got to keep. But they
take
the rest of it
and they say, oh, that's what we're going to start. Yeah. Yeah. They're talking about Nuhum Hashem. A good example of that is in our days, they forget about V'yavduni. Shalach HaSami, they were shouting and bawling for years and years and years. All these groups, Shalach HaSami, Shalach HaSami, eventually you get about
conveniently forgotten. The Masad Rav Kook. Oh, 1 minute. So first we'll do. The Alkut Miam Lois points out that the non-Jews consuming Klal Yisrael is described as Ochlu Lechem, eating bread, Dafka bread, and he points out, of course, bread being the staple food for mankind, people, you don't get fed up with eating bread. Yeah, you don't get fed up. You don't get bored of eating bread. Oh, I had bread yesterday, I'm not going to eat it today. Bread is a staple food, and therefore, Ochlu Lechem, they don't get, We give them the benefit of the gift. Learns a different shot on Ochli, on me, my people, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu involving himself in the Tzaris of Klal Yisrael. He says, it's my people they're consuming. And we find this time and time again that the Gemara says that when Klal Yisrael are in Golos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also puts himself in Golos, Imo on Ochli, the Torah, I'm with them in Tzaris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the Tzaris of Klal Yisrael. Now, my son found a sefer on my shelf, a paperback sefer, I don't know where I got it from, probably pulled it out of a Shemitz box, a sefer written by someone called Reb Gedalia Silverstone, who was a Roth in Washington in the 1920s, and he brings a pshat on this, he brings a pshat there, which is also brought, same pshat is also brought by Reb Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky in his sefer on Tillim, and he quotes the Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara in Brachos at the beginning of Ketz and Mevarchim, it's Lamed Hey Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, right at the top of Lamed Hey Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Kol Hanenem in the Olam Hazeh below Bracha, anyone who benefits from Olam Hazeh without a Bracha, Ki Ilu Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ucha Nefes Yisrael. He's stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's also stealing from Klal Yisrael. Rashi explains, what's he stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rashi says, it's a difficult Rashi, he's stealing the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's he stealing from Klal Yisrael? Well, if Klal Yisrael eat food without making the proper brachas, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will withhold good produce. The fields won't yield what they should be yielding, and the produce will go down for everybody, and everybody will suffer. So he's stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's also stealing from Klal Yisrael. So he points out here, we have here, Ochle Ami, if you are Hashem lo karo'u, if you don't call upon Hashem by making a bracha when you eat, then Ochle Ami, you're consuming my people, Ochlu Lechem, and you're devouring the food. You're devouring the food without making a bracha. Ultimately, you're stealing from Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make the produce in the field suffer on behalf of everybody. So that's brought both by from this Rabbi Gedalia Silverstone and also from the Yosef Tzvi Dishinsky.
The explanations are the interpretation.
For sure. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dishinsky also goes on to bring in a very nice pshat on this. He says, yeah, it's a simple kasha. He says, when enemies of the world attack Klal Yisrael, they are surely merely carrying out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has programmed them to carry out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish us for something, so he organizes an Amalek and a Midian and a Moab and a Yishmael and whoever it's going to be. He organizes an enemy to attack us. So he says, why are these enemies to blame? It's simple question. It's not their fault. All the Paros and all the Hamons of the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineered the whole thing. So why are these enemies to blame? He answers, if these enemies would attack us with an underlying kavana of l'shem shamayim, imagine the enemy. It's unimaginable, of course. If the enemies of Klal Yisrael would say, "Oh, l'shem yichu kudshav yichu," I'm going to attack Klal Yisrael because they are deserving of punishment, and ultimately it's for their own benefit, then indeed they're doing a proper shlichus, and then they would not be blameworthy. But Hashem lo karo'u, they don't involve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their picture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not on their radar, and they're attacking Klal Yisrael for their own ulterior motives. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he's engineered it, but from their perspective, they've got their own agenda. So it's Hashem lo karo'u.
They've got free will, they need to do it. Somebody else would do it. And they do it with vengeance.
The Razak on this pasuk learns the whole thing as a tamar. What's a tamar? An amazing thing.
A
mystery.
A
rhetorical question.
Tamar.
A question. And he says the Razak puts it like this: how on earth can the enemies of Klal Yisrael attack Klal Yisrael and say that, and be of the opinion that Hashem won't see them? And that's how he learns Hashem no karol. How can they attack us? How on earth can these evil doers expect to attack us and expect Hashem no karol? They're not going to call upon Hashem. They think Hashem will ignore them, and so they'll ignore Hashem. How on earth can they expect that to be? That's how he puts it. And he also says that this Hashem lo karo'u, he borrows an expression from a Medrash, or maybe it's from a Gemara, about less din for less dayan. They say, the enemies of Klal Yisrael will say, they're not calling upon Hashem, they say less din, there's no judgment, the less dayan, and there's no judge, we can get away with anything we like, we're not going to get into trouble for anything. And he also says, Hashem lo karo'u, says the Razak, is an expression of they remain steadfast in their lack of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only will they attack Klal Yisrael, but even after that, they'll remain steadfast in their lack of belief in Hashem. The Meiri learns that kol palei oven is an expression that all these enemies of Klal Yisrael, palei oven, they do a variety of averus. They all do different averus, but in one regard, they are all the same. And what's that one regard? Ochle ami. Yeah, they all got their one
aim in life,
is to destroy Klal Yisrael. They all come from disparate backgrounds, they've all got different averus, but ochle ami is a common thread.
Common
thread. Now, the Al-Sheikh, true to form, learning the whole chapter, speaks about Purim. He says, Hallo Yodu, don't you know, let me just get this right, let me just reread this in case I got it wrong. Oh, yes. That's right. Oh, this is marvellous. He says the Al-Sheikh, Esther, in the story of Purim, Esther invited Haman to the palace to the two mishteh, to the two feasts, banquets, and the Gemara goes into a number of reasons why Esther did this. What was her kavanah in inviting Haman to the palace? So the comment in the Gemara is that she wanted to make Ahasuerus think that she was having an affair with Haman, and that would put Haman in a bad light in Ahasuerus's eyes. Yeah, they had a whole Oedipus plan. Well, one of her kavanahs were to trick the Yidden into thinking that she was siding with Haman. Why? She thought to herself as follows: the Yidden in Shushan, they won't daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why won't they daven? Because they'll rely on me. I'm here in the palace, I have the king's ear, I can talk to him if I want to, and I could get him to reverse the whole edict. Therefore the Yidden in Shushan will rely on me, and they won't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they won't daven. So what did she do? She invited Haman to the palace, and she has a lovely party with Haman. And what did the Yidden and Shushan think? The Yidden and Shushan think, oh yeah, yeah, Esther, she's been won over to the enemy side. She's at one with Haman. She's inviting Haman to her feast. Wow, we can't rely on her anymore. Therefore, we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have no other recourse other than to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was one of her kavanos. Says the Al-Sheikh, that's what's going on in our pasuk. Hallo Yodu kol palei oven, ochle ami, ochlu lechem. She wanted to give the impression of being an ochel ami, of consuming her own people. How? Ochlu lechem. By eating bread, by having a party with Haman. Why? Because of the risk of Hashem lo kara'u. Otherwise Klal Yisrael would not call out to Hashem. So to twist their hands and to make them daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why ochlu lechem, she ate bread together with Haman in the palace. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns. The Al-Sheikh learns, the whole chapter talks about Purim. Yeah?
Yeah,
another
chapter. The Yidden didn't know much of Esther. Esther worked through Mordechai all the time.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know if they even knew that she was Jewish.
It
is only later on that she asked Mordechai that everyone should pray for when she was going to Ahasuerus. It was the last resort that she asked all the Yidden that she should pray for. But until then...
And it's hard to know. From that Gemara, though, it seems that, yes, they did know, because otherwise she wouldn't have worried.
Yeah, but according to the chat in the
Pesukim
of the Yidden, they had their way of knowing.
Well, they knew who she was, and they knew she'd been taken.
They
must have known about Tilakach Esther.
Mordechai knew.
They must have been known that she was, she'd gone. She wasn't around.
That she was her people. So he didn't know at the feast of the Haman.
Yeah.
He said, this is Haman, my people. It seems to me that they're saying it was a surprise to Pharaoh. Surprised the Haman, because he wouldn't have dared to do it.
They didn't know she was Jewish.
Yeah.
How comes that the Ashmeres and Haman didn't know? It's common knowledge.
Well, because they didn't know. Most people didn't know of her. It wasn't common knowledge.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Should we call it a day? We've still got quite a bit more to do on the
Pasuk.
Yeah, very good. So we're still on Pasuk Dalet. Good.